Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Assist-Fi Radio. Today is Friday, March 20th, 2015, and we are here on Assist-Fi Radio for a special show tonight honoring some beautiful women who are doing powerful things and have done powerful things in their lives and their communities. And tonight we're going to be taking some time to honor them, to celebrate their lives, to celebrate their work, their accomplishments, and to allow your listeners to hear more about them, who they are, what they do, and what they will continue doing for their communities. Today, we're celebrating Women's History Month, and we want to thank you all for joining us this evening as we enjoy this Friday evening, just getting ready for the weekend and having some quality time together as we empower, encourage, inspire, uplift, and motivate each other. We want to say thank you to Miss Davina Perez for coordinating this effort with us and getting this great lineup of guests with us for the show today. And we just want to recognize her for the great work that she's doing and just want to also say thank you to her. And I'm going to introduce her right now for you to hear a little bit about her, and then we can bring on the other guests that are with us as well, as we take this opportunity to do this beautiful show this evening. So thank you for joining and welcome, Miss Davina. How are you?
Hi. Good afternoon. Good evening. How's everyone?
Well, good evening, good afternoon, good evening, and happy weekend, TGIF, all of the good stuff.
And happy enjoying the snow night, right? Because who knew there was going to be another snow night in New York City?
Well, you know what? It's cold outside, but we're going to keep it warm here on the radio for our guests and our listeners
right tonight.
So it's going to be a beautiful evening, and we are so grateful that
yes,
we have everyone with us. So, Ms. Davina, could you just introduce yourself, talk a little bit about you, and then the guests that we have, just then we start bringing them on as well?
Okay. My name is Davina. I have a company called Woman Love Sports, too. And my company, I'm the publicist and event coordinator for athletes. So I work with boxers and sometimes other athletes, and I work on sports teams and sports complexes. And what I do is I promote the athlete. I have experience in the boxing field, so it was easier to transition as a publicist because I had that experience and a publicist for the boxers. I work with Zav Judah. He was the welterweight champion of the world. I've worked with Junior Jones, Iran Barkley, Mark Whelan, so many different guys. I've worked with Danny Judah. And basically, I help promote them and do events with them. Aside from that, what I wanted to do for Women's History Month, which is March, is a Women's Day Expo. And I wanted to focus on the achievement of women because I feel that women do a lot. We do work hard. And sometimes you only get acknowledged when you're a celebrity. But there's an everyday woman out there working hard and working for her family. She has a career. She could be a secretary. She could be a clerk. She could be a lawyer. Or she could be a publicist like me, where she doesn't have a celebrity status, but you are working hard in your career. And I wanted to acknowledge that. Also, there's a lot of women that work in the communities that you don't see every day. And they work with children. They try to keep families together. They also do community-oriented events. So I thought it would be nice to, you know, discuss the achievements of women for this month. That's where I'm at, basically.
And that's very beautiful,
thank
you, Davina. Very beautiful that we can take the time to recognize and honor the women in our communities who are doing great things and really making a scene out here. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, so what we're going to do right now is bring on our guests, the other guests with us as well, and we'll give them all an opportunity to introduce themselves. And as we do that, then we'll be able to now get into a conversation and then get to learn more about them. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So welcome, Ms. Janier. How are you today?
Honored to be on the show here with you.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Davina. Thank you, Davina, so much for what you do. Davina is just phenomenal. Anybody that knows her cannot help but love her. She's a woman that does things with her heart, and I just respect her. And thank you for including me in this.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for being here with us, Ms. Jessica. Can you tell us about you and you know who you are? Let us know. You know, let us know, Ms. Jessica.
Yeah, sure. My name is Jessica. I live here in Brooklyn, New York. I am a wife getting ready to celebrate my 13th wedding anniversary. I'm a mother of three children. And I have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old next week. I am also a first-time author. I just released my first book, a memoir, entitled My Colored World, about 5 months ago now. And I'm excited about that. I'm also a speaker and an entrepreneur and the founder of Look Up and Beyond. And how that came to be is I have found in my own life that there are two things that generally keep us from discovering our purpose. And most of the time it's our past, the bad things that have happened to us, the mistakes that we've made, the deep disappointment, and then the second thing is our current circumstances. Sometimes we have challenging circumstances, whether it's finances or relationship issues. These two things tend to keep us from moving forward and becoming who we can be. And with Look Up and Beyond, my vision was to inspire and equip people to look up and beyond their past and their current circumstances, to equip them by pointing them to resources and tools, inspiration and encouragement so that they can become more and to walk into their purpose. And that's one of my passions. I love people, and I love to see people succeeding and becoming more and just doing positive things. So that's a little bit about myself.
Okay. That's great.
Well, thank you, Ms. Jessica, and that little bit speaks a lot, so thank you for sharing that. We'll
thank
get more
you.
into the book and just the work a little bit later on, but thank you for being here, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, so next we have with us Ms. Stacey Williams. Hi, Ms. Williams, thank you for joining.
Hi, thank you for having me. Hi, Davina.
Hi, Stacey.
Well, my name is Stacey.
I'm sorry. I think we also have to say, Davina, we also have to say congratulations, right? Because they're also honorees, right, of the event?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Jessica, congratulations as well. And Ms. Stacey, congratulations too.
Thank you.
All right. So, go ahead, Ms. Stacey. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi. Well, my name is Stacey Sterling Williams. I'm a wife, a mother of two busy children, a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm currently working in my church ministry, not just working as a volunteer anymore, but as a staff member. And one of my goals is to just empower and enrich our young people. So, you know, I partnered up with Davina and one of her other organizations, Put Down the Guns, to help promote and do charitable work for underprivileged families and youth. And this is something that we do every year around the holidays just to make sure that other families are blessed the way our families are blessed.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Ms. Stacey. You said something a while ago that I really touched on, but we'll get a little bit more into that in a few, okay? So thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's bring on Ms. Townsley. Ms. Townsley, good evening. Thank you and congratulations. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and good evening to you. Hi, Davina.
Hi.
And thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you very much for everything you do.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, my name is Cassandra Dentownsley. I am the wife and the mother of, well, I gave birth to one and he multiplied. I actually have 12 stepchildren, 36 great-grandchildren, and 6 great-grands. So I come from a very big family. I married into a very large family, and they're a loving family, and I love them all. And as I'm also a retired postal worker of 28 years, and as a result of this wonderful son of mine, his name is Malachi, he was introduced to the art of public speaking at the age of 9 years old, which was, and so we started our own organization, Townsley's Oratory Group, Voices of Youth, where we mentor and coach youth between the ages of 9 to 17 in the art of public speaking, and we have several award-winning orators, my son being one of them. This was also inspired by Dr. Adelaide Sanford because she has a which happens to be a woman, of course, the Women's History Month, you know, must acknowledge Dr. Adelaide Sanford. I would like to thank her for the opportunity to expose the children in district, school district 13, for many years in the art of public speaking. They have an oratory competition every year, and it's just an amazing thing to see. It's for elementary school students, fourth and fifth grade, and middle school students, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I also host and MC events. Several of the events that I've been, you know, I've had the opportunity and the pleasure of doing in New York. One is National Night Out Against Crime, which is the first Tuesday in August every year. And I work with Dr. Kim Beth Sims in the 79th Precinct. And I host that event at Von King Park. I also have my own Women's History Month event that I host in MC, which is an annual event. And it's actually the same day that I'm being honored with Ms. Perez. So I am being excused this year, but I'm working very hard to build that event as well. I'm just honored, and I thank you for this opportunity to actually be able to speak on your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Townsley. Thank you. I know we have some other guests who are on with us. If you could press 1 on your keypad, that puts you in the queue for us so that we can know that you're on. There's a lot of people dialed in tonight, so just press 1 on your keypads. We'll definitely get you on right now to be a part of the dialogue. Oh, there we go. There are our other guests. So we have another guest with us from 7442. Hi, good evening. Thank you for joining.
Hi, my name is Pretty Lion. Thank you so much, Davina, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, welcome. Right. Yeah.
Congratulations, and thank you for joining. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Sure, thank you. My name is Pretty Lion. As I said, I'm an artist / entertainer. I dance, but I'm a professionally trained dancer since I was 5, ballet, modern hip-hop, jazz, African tap. I now do hip-hop music. I'm a rapper, singer, as well as an actress. So I'm pretty much all around in everything. Next week I will be performing at the Women's Expo at the Venus Tavern. So that's a great opportunity that I'm really excited about. I also have a children's event. It's called Guns Down, Life Up, that I'm also performing at sometime next week with Chaz Green. I just was a part of a movie. It's called Waiting for Mr. Right, that was released a couple of weeks ago in theaters, in select theaters, excuse me. Next week, I have a hosting event on a radio station, and I also have an organization that I'm putting together called Lifestyle Pretty. It's pretty much a way for me, because I know as an artist, I have a lot of say-so in the community, and I notice that a lot of celebrities don't use their power to in the right way. So with Lifestyle Pretty, it's just a way of showing everyone that pretty isn't just a physical attribute that you have. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're, like, you know, your face is just pretty. It can mean to anybody your lifestyle is pretty, meaning you have a good job, you go to school, you're all about positivity, and that's pretty much what I want to do, especially because I'm young and I have a lot of young siblings, so I want to be the female that everyone can relate to and just support other women, especially because I'm in a male-dominated industry. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Wow, thank you. I think I need to give you ladies a lot more credit than wow. I've been listening. Davina, you did not tell me, Davina, that we were going to have these powerful. You told me you had some powerful women, but you didn't say there were these powerful.
They're all powerful. That's right.
Wow. Well, listen, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for making this you know, opportunity to let your voices be heard, let people know about who you are, let them know about what you're doing. Because to be honest with you, yes, we are having disparities in our communities about how we look at the work being done by women. And we really need to do more to empower, inspire, and put you on a platform that people can know more and learn more, especially with our youth today, who so many of them don't have the leadership and guidance. You know, we definitely need to be acknowledging, recognizing, you know, women who are out in the communities doing good things. So thank you all for being here. So let me just, you know, have a conversation. Let's start a conversation. But before we do that, Davina, just real quickly, I do see that there are some other people who have come into the queue. And how many? I know we did have about 6 or 7 guests. Are there more?
There may be at least, I think, 2 or 3 more that are definitely going to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, Jackie Rowe, Shauna, Shauna.
So let me just bear with me 1 minute, please. Ladies, just bear with me. I did put 2 hours for the show, so we do have time. If you have time, if you have to leave early, let me know, and I'll pump you up. But I gave you enough time to talk about yourselves and what you're doing, but just bear with me 1 second, okay? We have a caller, 8592. Please introduce yourself.
Aurora Gordon.
Caller from 8592.
Yes. Please forgive me. It's a new number, son. I had to realize that that was my number.
Okay.
All right. So my name is Aurora, and I, too, would like to thank you and Davina for having me on the call.
Oh, thank you.
And our organization is Battered to Beautiful. And I have been born and raised here in the inner city. And have dealt with my testimonies want to be told. And I'll speak on that at Davina's event on the 28th. The reason why we chose the name Battered to Beautiful is because, you know, I feel that a battered woman doesn't have to be just physically abused by a man. I feel a person's soul can also be battered by way of verbal abuse, abuse as a child, self-abuse, which I'm a victim of. Not to mention mental abuse. So I think that for me to share my testimony with the community and those who need to hear it, that will make other women come out of their shell and feel their beauty.
Thank you. Thank you. That is good. That is good. I'm happy to hear that. It sounds like you're on a speakerphone and there's an echo between your voice coming through. So as we get into the show, if you just, when you're speaking, could you just speak into the phone itself, please?
Okay, is that better?
Yes, that's a little bit better. Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right, so just hold on for a second, okay? We got an 8782 caller. Thank you for joining.
Hi there. My name's Shauna Jana.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on the call. Hi, Davina.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm a wife. I'm a mom, a first-time mom. I have a 2-year-old daughter named Simone. I am very active in my church. We have a very strong music ministry, and I'm a choir director there. And I also have 13 years of retail management experience. So I'm all around seeing people all the time and talking to a lot of people throughout the day. I'm also an entrepreneur. My husband and I have a gourmet beverage business. We sell gourmet coffee, tea, and hot chocolate. And I spend a lot of time, throughout the years, I spend a lot of time mentoring young women and just encouraging them to have their own and set themselves up for whatever it is that they want in their lives. A lot of women, a lot of people in general say that they want to do this, or when this happens, they want to do this. But we as people don't really plan for what we want. And I learned that in my own life. There's a lot of things that I wanted, and I didn't plan for it. And as an adult now, I see that in a lot of people around me, and I want to help them, of course, not make the same choices, make better choices. And so that's part of my mission as a mom, wife, and an entrepreneur.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you. We have a diverse group of women here today that are touching the lives of people in so many great ways. This is truly a powerful. I'm glad that we're recording this because is something that we definitely have to play back. And what we're going to do, Davina, is I know you have a lot of guests tonight, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give an opportunity to each one of your honorees and your guests to come on and have a one-on-one with us if they would like to do that, so we can have more, you know, get to know them more and get to know their work more and put their work out there in terms of getting them recognized. So that's an offer that we're going to put out for each one of the guests and honorees tonight for us to help to get the word out about what you're doing, the projects, your entrepreneurship, and the efforts that you're doing, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So caller 5505, thank you for joining. Congratulations. Hello?
Yes, Melissa? Melissa, talk.
Hello. Good evening.
I guess this is not one of the honorees. This is just someone calling in to listen?
No, it's one of the honorees.
Okay.
Good evening.
Caller 5505.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, good evening. This is Melissa Harva LeBron.
Well, thank you. Welcome, Ms. Melissa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Davina.
Hi.
Acknowledging me. Hi, sweetie.
All right. So can you introduce yourself, Ms. Melissa?
As I said, my name is Melissa Harva LeBron. I am the first African-American female to own a multicultural and competitive NASCAR team out of the New York area.
Great. Are we getting a drive, a run tonight, or this is just...
In the next 3 weeks will be our first race, the next 3 weeks.
Okay, great. Well, that's good to know. That is good to know. So thank you for being here as well. Davina, you didn't tell me. Boy, I tell you. Okay.
I told you that you don't have to be a celebrity to be a star.
I know, but you got celebrities and stars mixed together right here. All right.
It's woman power right now. That's what I'm talking about, woman power.
That's it. So, ladies, listen, let's do this. I know there's a lot of us tonight, but we're going to make this really special, okay? I want to start back with Ms. Jessica. Ms. Jessica, as an author and an inspirational speaker, how do you see, you know, women in society today and what's going on with the women's rights and so on? How do you see that?
Okay, that's a great question. I think that we've made great strides, first of all. I think women in general have made great strides. Of course, there's always more work to do. There's a lot of work to do in terms of having a voice and feeling that you're being heard, especially related to issues that women deal. I mean, we are fearfully and beautifully created, but we do have challenges that we face as women that our male, respectively, our male counterparts don't deal with. But overall, in general, what I love to acknowledge is that, you know, we have come a long way as women. We do have access to things that we have not had access to before. We do have a voice. I believe more women are becoming empowered with the technological advancement, utilizing social media, being able to put their information out there, whether it's something dealing with being an entrepreneur or just having a blog, finding creative ways to have a voice, finding a creative way to make an impact. And I think that's one of the things that makes us women unique, is that we are nurturers. We nurture ideas. You don't necessarily have to be a mother to mother something or someone. Many times we as women, we mother inventions and ideas, and we're innovative and we're creative, and we're constantly adding beautiful things to the world that make the world better. I think one of the biggest challenges that we as women have is that many times we don't really believe our worth. We really don't see our worth for what it is. And so we kind of go through an internal battle of, you know, desiring something but not really feeling that we are deserving of that. And so as women, we really have to, and I know as a woman for myself, I've had to learn to identify who I am and to be able to step into that power and not be afraid to use my voice, not be afraid to speak up for something that can simply without thinking about how someone else would see that. So I think women are very powerful. I also think that strong women and women who know what their purpose is, they don't feel insecure and competitive. They know, they understand the power of collaborative efforts, and it's one of the things that I love about networking and building relationships, you know, with all people, but particularly with women, is that when you put a group of women together and they really have the same heart and mind for doing something positive, there's just no stopping them. And what we do together collaboratively is something beautiful that really can change the world. So that would be my piece on just the impact and the power of women and how we have advanced and we continue to strive towards advancement.
Right.
Thank you so much for that. Would anyone else like to add to that?
I think that's so quiet. Ladies?
That was a powerful piece, as Jessica just said. I just really
Miss Cassandra didn't say anything about the women. I don't believe it. Wait a minute. Stop the presses. I can't believe it. No, one thing I will say is that in the year of 2015, we still have issues with having a woman president. I can't believe it. So I think that that's one of the advancements that I would like to see, that we have, we finally have a president that can be a woman, and regardless of her gender, she is going to get the job done, and don't waste time on the petty, trivial, unnecessary things that people waste time with when a woman is multifaceted. So a woman can raise children and work. And I think, right, ladies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
That is true. Yep,
and
true.
Take care of a man.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree with you, Davina. I also would like to see more equality in pay rates in all industries for women. I know that's something that has been a common point of discussion, but I really want to see it happen. I think it can. I think we're worth it, and I'd love to see that become a reality.
Right. And not feel like you have to be labeled, you know, I have nothing against feminism. You know, like I said, I'm a woman power person. But it's not always about being a feminist. It's about being a woman. Because the minute you do something, they say, oh, you're acting like a man, or you might be a feminist. No, some of us are just professional, aggressive, assertive women. That has nothing to do with being a man. That role should not be gender, you know, oh, well, she's just trying to be a man. No, some of us are career-oriented. Most of us, all of us on this phone is career-oriented, right?
Absolutely.
Right? But I think the label sometimes is like, well, she's trying to be a man, and I don't think so. I don't think, do you guys think, have you ever heard that before?
I hear it a
definitely.
Lot.
Definitely.
Yep, I've heard
mm-hmm.
that.
Like, I know, Melissa, you probably really are going to hear it because you're in the direction of NASCAR, and that's definitely a male-oriented sport and a white male-oriented sport, not even a male-oriented, but a white male-oriented
mm-hmm.
sport. So I know, have you run across anything like that where everyone's like, well, that's a male-oriented sport. Like, you can't handle something like that. Come on.
Well, we've lost some of the callers. Some of the callers have dropped off Davina, so if you don't hear a response, what's going on?
Which,
all right, so there's some of
Davina?
Us.
Yes?
No. Well, you know, just to chime in on that, what you didn't know is I drove trucks for the post office.
Oh, wow.
And that was something that I heard of a lot because it is a male-dominated career. Truck driving usually
right.
is associated with men. You know, so, yeah, it can be a challenge when you're
yeah.
a woman and you're doing something that most people associate with man, and when you are assertive and when you are aggressive and you are focused and you have direction and you have no problem with speaking up on behalf of a woman, then a lot of time, yes, you are, you know, they will, you know, you will hear often, oh, you're acting too much like a man. But
right.
needless to say, a lot of it has to do with a lot of single homes as well, because a lot of women have, you know, find themselves having to play two double roles, wear two hats, you know. And it's not saying that we don't have single, you know, parents that are men. Right now, we're, because we are speaking about women, this is Women's History Month, we're going to address, you know, the women's issue, you know. So there's a lot of concerns with the, you know, dual roles. And sometimes, yes, we do have to, you know, women do have to be a little more aggressive.
And it takes nothing away from your femininity. I love lipstick.
No.
I live in Sephora. Sephora on 42nd Street. I'm there, I think, every week. Whatever new shade come out, believe me, I know about it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that takes nothing away from being career-oriented.
Exactly.
Let me ask you ladies a question. And I'm listening to what you're saying. There are a lot of males in our society today who are afraid of women who are not afraid of their femininity, or women who are strong in terms of their personality, or women who are achieving greater things than men, than themselves. How do you look at that in terms of the bias that comes from the male side of things, where men will continue to try to use that whole male dominance piece, even though we know within ourselves as men that women do achieve and are achieving more than some of us as men?
That's a good question. This is Jessica. I'd like to answer that because that is a real problem. A lot of men are intimidated by a strong woman. I believe that a man that is secure in who he is and understands the power of his manhood will welcome a woman to be who she is. And even if that means she's a little bit more aggressive, she may be a little bit more dominant, I don't believe that the two genders need to have that competitiveness where it's one is better than the other. I believe if we all stay in our lanes and understand our roles, we actually we can complement each other and bring out the best in each other. One of the things that I was thinking about as Davina was sharing a few minutes ago was now, one of the challenges in this society for women, particularly young women, young girls, is having more value placed on the substance of their character versus their sexuality and their physical beauty. And a lot of times, men are intimidated by that because they don't understand how to relate to a woman who has all of these things. And so I have learned just from my own experience in my own life is that, you know, I respect the men. I have learned to respect the men around me, but I'm still a dominant woman. I'm still that type that makes it happen. I'm a go-getter. You know, if I have an idea, I'm driven. And I know because Davina and I were very similar in that. We've worked on different projects in the community, and we're a make-it-happen type of person. And sometimes we may have some passive men around us, but it doesn't minimize the value that they have as a man. It just means we have different personality characteristics. And so I think that understanding, you know, just understanding our roles and not being intimidated by it and understanding that, you know what, as a woman, this is who I am. I'm not insecure around a dominant man, and I'm sure not going to be intimidated by him. I'm going to stand in my power as a woman. And yet at the same time, I'm not going to disrespect him and feel like I have to prove something to anybody. So it's all about being secure in who we are as women. I think that's a big thing.
Right.
Right.
And it goes, go ahead.
This is pretty lying. I'm just going to go off of what Jessica was saying about the whole when men feel like, you know, when it comes to a woman, it's all about their physical being and stuff. Being that I'm a part of the music industry, that's definitely a male-dominated industry. And as a female that's trying to get to the same status as a lot of these men, a lot of the successful entertainers in the industry, I'm a beautiful girl, and so I come across a lot of men where if I speak up or if I have a strong opinion about the way a song should go, the way a video should go, the way I want to dress, it's always looked at as, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just a pretty rapper girl. And it's kind of hard. I'm not even going to say kind of hard. It is very hard, especially because I'm not all about my looks. And it gets to a point where it's like, okay, I understand what Jessica was saying. It's like, just because you're insecure as a man doesn't mean that I'm trying to take your place or that I'm trying to necessarily compete with you. it's I'm very ambitious. I'm very aggressive when it comes to the things that I want to attain. So when it comes to music, I'm not going to be the female that's talking about I'm not going to be the raunchy female, and I'm not going to always have my butt out or my cleavage out or anything. And most times they come at me as if I want something to get done, then it's like, okay, well, you want to give me your number or you want to, can I take you out? And I'm like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm about business. And then it's always a miscommunication. So I definitely, definitely understand exactly what Jessica was saying.
But can I ask you something? Because I worked in the music industry before as a manager, and mm-hmm. I find that it's also the women's fault at sometimes, because
definitely.
Sometimes we don't stand up and say, we're not doing that. Sometimes mm-hmm. I think women get sexualized so much, people put these images on you, and you as a woman take it. And I don't think to be a rapper or a singer, you have to show cleavage. You don't have to mm-hmm. wear certain provocative outfits. It's about your skills. It's not necessarily about the way you look. But
exactly.
I think people get caught up in that, especially in the music industry, and they feel you have to look extremely sexual. And
I have an example for that.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
I went to an audition. It was for a TV show that's getting ready to come out. But I went to the audition. I had on a nice pair of leather leggings, a blazer, and a nice shirt with my name on it. Now, to me, I looked really nice. And as soon as I opened my mouth, and I'm like, my name is Free Lion. I'm a rapper. The entire judge panel, they looked at me and they were like with the confused face. So I did the audition, and long story short, by the end of it, one of the female judges said to me, you don't look like a rapper. So in my mind, I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean I don't look like a rapper? And one of the other judges said it again. So I started to think, I'm like, well, maybe if I came in here with booty shorts on, or if I came in here looking like a little boy, then I would be considered looking like a rapper. So it's just, I definitely understand, like, women allow themselves to be put into certain categories, because when a man comes at them that way, they don't stand up for themselves, and they don't have character, and they don't have their own mind to think, okay, well, that's not me, and I don't have to do that because I have talent, because I have the skill. And so it definitely is. It's definitely not just the male's fault. It's a lot of the female in how they present themselves and what they put out there for, like, on their own.
All right, hold on one second. Hold on one second, ladies, because I really got to come back to that. That's a very important piece. But I see we have two other guests that I just want to give an opportunity. 3710, you're on. Hi, who is this?
Hi, my name is Leah Allen.
Hi, Miss Leah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I want to just give my hats off to you ladies. You all sound amazing. And thank you, Davina, for having me, as well as Ms. Janier for including me.
Okay, thank you. Great, great. Can you just introduce yourself real quick and tell us a little bit about who you are? And, you know, congratulations again for being one of the honorees.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. My name again is Leah Allen. I'm 45 years old, divorced now. I'm a single parent. I have two children. One is 29 and one is 14 years old. I've been working on my job. I work in the healthcare area, and I've been there for 23 years. And currently working with a company that I am so in love with and passionate about. I work with a company called Legal Shield. They've been around for 42 years now. And what the company does is empower families with legal services as well as identity theft services, which we all know is just rapid right now. It's affecting everyone. So I'm very happy that I'm, you know, working in this business and doing that and empowering people with legal service. They have access of something that they, you know, most people, the majority of people are locked out of, which is the legal system, because most people can't afford attorneys. So with this company, you have unlimited access to attorneys to make phone calls to them, for them to review documents, write letters on your behalf. So that's, you know, pretty much, you know, what I'm doing at this current time outside of work.
All right, Ms. Leah, thank you so much. That's an important part, too. The legal aspect is a very important part, so thank you for being here. Let me just get one more person on with us. 0392, caller from 0392.
Oh, hi. Hello, this is Jacqueline Rowe. How's everybody? Hi, Davina. Hi, everyone. I heard such a wonderful cast. I've been on this call since 6. Listen to everyone.
Oh, sorry, Miss Jackie. Well, you're here. Thank you for staying with us, and thank you for waiting. So thank you. Here we go.
You're welcome. My name is Jacqueline Rowe, and I'm the founder of Jacqueline Rowe Enterprises. And it's a consultant marketing firm. You know, I've been in the music industry for 25 years with music and fashion and sports. I, like Davina, come from the sports section of the whole entertainment glamorous. I actually was very fortunate to be one of Mike Tyson's confidants for 20 years. So I'm kind of known to the world as AKA Mike Tyson's sister. That's one. But besides that, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a sister, I'm a fighter in the ring and out of the ring. I'm an author, and I'm also the founder of my foundation called Face My Abuse for over 9 years. I mentor and consult and do life coaching for women that are going through abuse and life after abuse, trying to help them to restore and build their core to get back into the life they had once before. So that's basically about me.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you to you and Ms. Leah. Again, Ms. Rowe, thank you for holding on and staying on. We had a lot of beautiful people on today, and we just wanted everyone to get a chance to introduce themselves, okay? So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so let me go back to what we were talking about before, because there was something that was said that I really want us to look at. We're talking about how women represent themselves in society today, where a lot of the stereotypes are looked at as we'll talk about the booty and the way they dress and carry themselves. And if you are dressing or looking different than that, it's as if you don't get the type of respect that you should get. Is that something that you think that we as a society created, or is it something that, you know, women, in terms of how women carry themselves and allow themselves to be accepted in society, created them?
I'm not sure I understand your question again. Could you repeat that?
In terms of how women are accepted in society today for the way you dress and carry yourselves and the way you conduct business, do you think that's something that was created by women, or society just kind of put that stereotypical, you got to dress a certain way? I think, I can't remember, our sister was saying it, that when she went on that interview for this audition, because she looked a little bit differently and carried herself a little bit differently, she did not or was not seen as a typical woman today.
Well, I mean, I think if we're in the, you know, time of, you know, freedom of speech and, you know, having the rights to do what we have the rights to do, if you're not being gaudy or too, you know, exposing yourself, I think women have a right to dress comfortably the way they want. You know, I don't see nothing wrong with that. And society does play a big part. Society does want women to be a certain size, you know, wear a certain look. And if I think women that believe in who they are, the coreness of who they are, they should have the right to dress the way that they please. I mean, that's just my aspect.
But understand, this is Cassandra chiming in, and I don't know the ages of most of the women on the call, but I, being over 50, so growing up in a different time era from some of the young ladies, I am one who firmly believes that we should be who we are, but there's a time and a place for everything.
For everything.
Okay. Now, because a woman feels that she has the right to wear something, what is that something that she's wearing? You know, too much to go to a supermarket, you know, and then unfortunately we're talking about, you know, in a day and time where meet social media, our celebrities, our children are so star-stricken, a lot of separated homes, you know. There's so many entities that's playing a role into why there's so much disrespect going on nowadays. I mean, let me say, when I was younger in my 20s, I went to a club. I went to clubs. I went to many clubs. And as I went to clubs, any of my friends that frequent with me, they'll tell you, as long as we had a vehicle, it's after hours. Yes, I did not mind. I was the size at the time, size 5'6". But I was always very busty. I loved showing my cleavage. Okay, but I wouldn't wear that same outfit to church, and that same outfit I wore to the club, I would not wear it to the supermarket. I would not wear it to school. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, and no one is teaching our young ladies how to be young ladies and to understand the difference.
Right.
And even at over 50, okay, if I was back, maybe that's why God put all this weight on me, to make sure I didn't get back in.
Ms. Townsend, you just touched on something that was very important in terms of the age factor. But the truth is that as a man, as a male out here in our communities walking the streets, I do see a lot of women over 50 who are seniors dress the way that a lot of these young women are dressed today and carry themselves seemingly.
I'm appalled and outraged, because instead of us teaching our young ladies, we're now going, you know, going back in time and acting like it's okay to regress in certain areas, because you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I am a plus-size woman that's 53 years old, okay? I am not going to wear something just because you put a size 18 on it, okay? If it's inappropriate for my body structure and frame, I'm not going to wear it. I mean, they have this thing now that they call muffins, okay? You have a little bit of a pouch, so now it's acceptable to show your balls and you just call it a muffin. No, that's not acceptable. It doesn't really look cute. I don't even, if I see a muffin, I want it on my plate with a daggone napkin next to it, and I want to eat it. I don't want to see it hanging off your body. You know, you call it a muffin. It's, you know, we have to teach our young ladies how to be young ladies, how to represent, and that's being lost. And instead of teaching, we're trying to act like them and emulate them. And it's so lost. As you look at social media, you see the young girls fighting on social media. I saw two grandmothers fighting on social media. Really? Really? It's being videotaped. And we have to be more responsible and accountable, and we have to take our youth back. And that's why I do what I do. I do mentor through my workshops and through my organizations and through my works. I do mentor. I do step up to the plate, and I do let the young ladies know that's not appropriate. Because in order to be a part of my organization, if you're going on a stage and you're representing through my name, no, when you're standing on stage, you will not have on a skirt that is always all the way up to what God supposed to have, you're supposed to have covered. You're not going to stand up on my stage if someone can look up and see your tonsils. But, you know, it's not appropriate. You know, and we're not telling them, we're not saying this to these young ladies. So, like, they come out and they misrepresent and they don't look like, you know, ladies, young ladies are supposed to look in certain settings. And it's not good.
But can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
do you think, by any chance, do you think, because this was one of the questions that I was concerned about, do you think that we as women are not doing our job, considering what happened recently in that McDonald's where we had these young girls fighting so viciously against each other, and everyone was saying that they should go to jail, or they should be, what else they were saying? They were saying all types of things, but for me, I just felt like, you know, I believe that you know, there's an alternative to incarceration, because I believe that incarceration, depending on the crime, can make the youth worse. But I was wondering about us as a society. Are we doing enough as women to help these young people? I mean, some things we can't control, because we need more services for our youth. Bottom line, we need the government to give us more services. But aside from that, I'm just saying, do you guys think we're doing enough?
No. Not at all.
Absolutely not.
No. This is pretty lying.
And I've noticed that I believe I'm the youngest one out of everyone speaking tonight. I'm 25 years old, so I think it was Cassandra that was talking about, you know, there's a place for, you know, there's a time and place for everything. And me being in my 20s, I go out, I wear short skirts, I like to show my cleavage sometimes. But I, like I said, when I went on my audition, I didn't do that. And so I just feel like there aren't enough of us that are making that example, because there's reality TV, there's social media.
Right.
Exactly.
There's the at-home parenting. I can't really speak as far as that goes because I'm not a parent. But I do have friends, and I do have younger siblings and stuff that are just really being led in the wrong direction. And thankfully, growing up, I had a village around me that taught me these things that,
absolutely,
you know, when you go on an interview, you're supposed to look a certain way. When you go to church,
exactly,
you're supposed to look a certain way. When you go to school,
exactly,
you look a certain way. You're young, you have the body for it, so cool. You want to go to a party at night and a nightclub? Cool, yeah. Do you. Have fun. You know, of course, don't go overboard, but you know, just always be respectful in what you wear and everything. And I just kind of feel like with reality TV, all they see are women fighting each other. And all they see are women cursing and women always, no matter where they go, having their busty in every way. And it's just, there's not enough examples of positive women, and it's not enough examples of women that, you know, have goals and that have real careers. And not everybody wants to be a bottle service girl, and not everybody wants to be a stripper, and not
right.
Just
right. But you know what? You know, and you touched it. This is Cassandra again. And when you mentioned about social media, it's not just social media. Like, for example, I don't really watch Scandal, Empire, all those shows, but I did catch a part of the finale, and I saw the scene, Jennifer Hudson, as she's singing in church with a dress so short, and I'm like,
oh,
really?
I thought the same thing. Oh, my God.
I said, really? I'm like, really? You know what? So now you're going to have our young sisters showing up
right.
in church this Sunday
mm-hmm.
because this is what Jennifer Hudson did on Empire, and now
yep.
they're going to have their skirts all the way up to their behind. That dress was totally inappropriate for the scene. She's beautiful, she's gifted, and she's talented. If you had her singing in church, you should have at least had it. I'm not saying that the dress didn't have to be. It could have still been a little form-fitting. It could have been very nice, very stylish. As a matter of fact, Little Miss Cookie, they dress her behind off, and then her dresses is never up to her behind. Why couldn't
mm-hmm.
they have Jennifer Hudson wearing something along those lines? I thought that was so inappropriate. I'm like, really?
Right, but
joke.
Again, is it, you know, a lot of times everyone blames the men. Oh, it's the men, it's the men. But I blame the woman, because at some point you have to stand up and say, I'm not doing it. So
can I say
that?
Something? Hello.
Exactly.
Hi.
Yes.
This is Stacey. You know, I'm a firm believer that everything starts from home. Just like the other sister that was speaking, I was raised in what we call a village. Everybody on my block that I grew up in Laurelton, Queens, had a handle on my upbringing. You know, if the neighbor saw me doing something that he knew I shouldn't have been doing, he addressed me, and he addressed that issue with me. And then he took me to my parents and explained to my parents why he addressed me the way he did. You know, and one of the things that I work on and at my church, one of the things that we're big on is developing our young women. We sit with our young women, we worship with our young women, and we're trying to teach and mold our young women. One of the things that we just did this past weekend is we had a tea party. We did a tea party with our young ladies to just teach them the etiquette of what it is to be a young lady and how a man should treat a young lady. You know,
mm-hmm.
these are all the things that we work on with our young people, but we also have social media, we have all of these reality shows. You know, it's a time and a place for everything, I believe, and I'm not going to hate on anyone for making money. If that's the way they need to make their money, it's not for me to judge them. But one of the things that I do as a mother of a six-year-old is I speak to her quite often, and I teach her the difference between right and wrong, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what should be done at this time of the day. You know what I mean? It's just certain things that we just need to instill in them, and I think that's lost. Today's society don't have that upbringing anymore. I'm 39, and when people ask me, they're like, some people refer to me as an old soul. You can refer to me as an old soul, but this is the way my mother brought me up. My father didn't allow me to walk out the house in pajama pants to go to the corner bodega to get a sandwich.
Pajama pants.
These are just the things that we see
exactly.
in our youth today, and no one addresses it. They think it's cute, and they think it's funny. And not only are our youth wearing these things in the street, I see grown women doing it. So what
exactly.
examples are we setting? So I make sure the way I carry myself, the way I dress, I make sure that when I look at myself in the mirror, am I a good representation of myself for my child to see me as I continue to grow? The same thing with my 23-year-old niece and my 14-year-old niece. I speak to them. I ask them questions. I look at what they're wearing. I'm on their social media sites to see what they're involved with and what they're doing. But these are the things that we're not doing anymore. We're losing our youth.
Yes.
Let me add something to the conversation, and let me just say this. And we do, we provide mental health counseling, behavioral health therapy, dealing with children who are suicidal, children who are attempted, all these different things. One of the things that I will always bring to the conversation, no matter where we are, is the fact that whether we allow our children to use technology, social media, or to watch these shows or what's on TV, it's how we as adults help them to understand what they're seeing.
Exactly.
So even if they are watching it, and even if they're on social media and they're using Facebook or Twitter and all that, it's how we as adults are helping them to understand what this thing is, what they're doing, what they're watching, the things that they're listening, and helping them to translate it by saying, you know what, this is just reality TV, not reality in terms of your reality, but just other people's reality. This is music that's being portrayed by people who are not understanding or on the same level as you. This social media thing has its good and its bad. This is how you use it. This is the good ways that you use it. These are the bad things that can come out of it. I think what scares me the most is that most of the children that we're seeing who are at risk today are from single-family homes where the mother is raising and wearing both hats to try to raise boys and girls. And so there is a very serious issue in terms of, one is the responsibility and the roles that are played by women in our communities that are not getting the credit that they should get or the support they should get. But then when the child does something wrong or the child does, something happens to the child, the blame comes right back on the parent. The other thing is when you look at the fact that there aren't role models today, let's be real. We don't have many role models today for our youth, male or female.
No.
And the ones who are truly role models, you really don't hear about them. So there are some serious issues when you look at the influences that are coming to our youth. And that's why I'm so happy that you're all here with us tonight, because we do have a broad audience. And we do have an audience of not just people who just listen, but people who are listening who will learn from what you're seeing and take that to develop other things or enhance their programs or enhance what they're doing in working with youth. And that's what we really need to be doing. We need to create the platforms and put platforms of positive thinking, positive energy, and positive role models. While you have the bad side of all that's going on, you also have the good side that can be used in positive influence for our children.
Yeah. But one thing I want to add one thing in there is that I actually do feel we do have role models. We are the role models.
I think that
sometimes people look so much outside of what is in front of them. And
right.
the fact that you get up and go to work every day and do the job that you're supposed to do, you're a role model. The fact that you sit with a youth and discuss something with them, even if it's at the corner of the block, you're a role model. The fact that Stacey said that she watches how she dresses and to make sure it's appropriate before she goes outside, she's a role model.
Exactly.
Jessica with her book's a role model. But I think everyone wants the role model to always be a celebrity or some political leader or someone so far away, and then everyone wants to base it on this one superhero. Oh, it's just this one person, and he's going to carry us through. No, it's not. It's about all of us being accountable for who we are and the neighborhood and the kids and it's a world thing. We all have to be accountable. We all. It can't just be one person anymore. Those days of that one leader is non-existent
it's
anymore.
Over.
No one wants
exactly.
a one leader running the world. I don't. I'm not following
you
one man.
The words exactly out of my mouth. This is Jackie Rowe, because there's 7 billion people in the world. There's 7 billion people in the world. And if people think that social media and all these other things play a real big point, I beg to differ. It does to a certain extent, but it works for people in young generation that want to believe that. Because there's girls that's on social media that's beautiful, sized up, that strips and do all kinds of stuff. But they put on their suits and they know how to look good when they go for an interview.
Right.
They do their stuff. They know how to do. People will do what they want to do. It's just like all of us are adults here. We have our child. You can scold your child. You can tell your child not to this, not to do this, not to do that. They're still going to do what they want to do, just like that fight at McDonald's. Like, those girls wanted to be in something. This is a gang going around with initiating, you know, the Bloods and the Crips, and, you know, you meet a girl here, you beat her down. These girls be wanting to be down so bad they'll do anything. But supervision comes from home.
That's right.
And when you don't have that supervision that's in you and you it's instilled with you, I'm a young mother at 15 years old, had my two sons when I was, 15 and 22. I think the world know how old I am now. My oldest is 35, and my youngest is 29. And I'm proud. I live in the ghetto. I've traveled the world, toured the world, everywhere. I know where the king, the queens, and everyone live. And I maintain my sanity and my whole core of being in Brooklyn. And I have two great sons. They've never been to jail. They've never been in no gang. They don't do that because I don't play that. You understand me? So it's what you teach your kids, and you can be a role model. You can be Jesus Christ on the cross. And this time in society, kids are going to do what they want to do. You understand me? But if it's instilled with them early, maybe you have a chance. You can't try to teach a girl when she's 15 or she's 13 how to wear a long skirt. That's not going to work. So what you have to instill, I commend the young lady that's doing the etiquette, because I started doing that 2 years ago. Everyone asks for it because everybody always teases me how I eat and how I walk. And when I put it out there, no one wanted to pay the money for it, and it wasn't high. But people only want to do what they want to do when they feel like a celebrity is doing it. That's true. But those are the followers. There are other young girls that's leading the pack like wolves that are doing the same thing that we as adults are on this phone doing. So please believe that. We can't change everything. We all need to do what we do and be that role model and be that, you know, stepping stone for all the younger generation. But we are doing as much as we can do. There's no more that we can do, because everyone here has principles and has guidelines of what parenting is and what was instilled with them when they were young. So you take that, and you have shown that with everything that you have done to be entrepreneurs and be successful authors, you know, founders of great things or what you're doing. These young generations, it's them. You know what I mean? They have too much of what they want to do in their bones already for you to come in and try to change them. So I do see a lot of young girls out there that do not want to be followers, that they are leaders.
And let me say something. At my church, one of the things that I love is not only are we trying to teach and raise up our young ladies to be young ladies, we also promote, we have so many young women in our ministry that are entrepreneurs already at the ages of, had a little girl just last week. She presented to the congregations her own, she started her own baking business. She bakes and sells cupcakes. We have, another one. She has her own social media where she promotes and she advocates for young sisters and brothers who's trying to start and get out there into the business world. She puts on her forum, she has numerous of events where she has different TV personalities, journalists that comes and they speak to the young people. I mean, it's so many young people that are doing great things, but they're being overshadowed by the ones that aren't, and it's not fair.
Thank you. We can't sit
and
here
really,
and talk about trying to change everything. There are a lot
everything
of
can't be
social
changed.
Media is helping a lot. It might be, you got to look in, you know, everything has a true win to it.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is helping a lot of startup companies, entrepreneurship, like, women don't want to stay stagnant. The younger generation, they're always looking to change. They want to know how to make money. One thing I really got from Obama that really made me like him is when he said that, you know, when he got in office, he'd think that more people should be self-employed. And that really blew my eye. I was like, whoa.
Yep. oh, okay, I like him. I didn't have to listen too much. Heard that, and because me, as being who I am, I've been self-employed for over 30 years. I would not work for anyone because, for me, I think I've learned enough to be able to teach other people in my life to show them how to be able to make a dollar. It's not that hard. You know what I mean? It's really not that hard. If you can make $2 out of 50 cents, then you can teach somebody else to do that. And I'm about caring, sharing, and is sharing the wealth. So these young girls that we have on social media, they're just looking at the wrong people to follow. But the majority of them, they're doing their thing. I commend them. They
absolutely.
We are role models to them. We're doing what we do. I've seen so many people started. No one, when I started doing domestic violence and talking about, everybody looked at me like I was crazy. Jackie Rowe, domestic violence, who beat up? Yeah, but I say, never say never, because if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And look what happened now. For the last 9 years, I've seen so many people came out the closet and started talking about it. Domestic violence is not only talking about being beat up by men. It is trafficking. It is bullyism. It is more than what people make it seem to be. It's not a guy pounding on you. When I do it on Facebook and I talk to these girls, I'm on the board of director at my shelter, so it's very passionate for me when I see a young woman going through it. You know, I identify with her so much that I have to always tell her it's not your fault, because there's women that are going through it that's not speaking out, that's hiding because they're ashamed. And I'm saying to you, ashamed of what? You know what I mean? Like, you can tell somebody that you're being abused. Don't be afraid, sister. Let somebody know, because if you don't, you're going to be dead. This is not a joke, but thanks to the celebrities for coming out and the basketball players and the football players and whoever else to make it more of awareness. So I commend whatever celebrities can get certain things out, I'm for it.
That was great. This is great commentary. This is Jessica. I'm sorry, Brett, you wanted to say something?
No. Go ahead, Miss Jessica. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that was great. I'm just loving the comments. I wanted to add, I am a product of domestic violence. I actually was raised in a home that was built on domestic violence, and it actually cost my sister her life, you know, getting involved in gang violence and all those things that we see on TV with the bullying and the fighting and all of that. I mean, that was a reality for me, and I wanted to comment on the flip coin, because there are some people that are just going to do what they want to do. They'll get taught the right things, and people will teach them the right way, and they're going to do what they want to do. But I believe that there's a lot of people that do the wrong thing because they really don't know the right way to do it. And I'm speaking from experience. I was a young woman that I didn't know the right way. I didn't know the right way to dress. I didn't have a purpose. When you talk about young people who are entrepreneurs, young people that are growing up in the church, many of them have a sense of purpose. Many of them have some sense of who they are and why they're here. Even if they don't have a full understanding, they have an inkling that, you know what, there's a God, I was created for something, or I have some gifts. But there's a lot of people who don't know their gifts. They don't believe that they're valuable. They have been disappointed and abused by people time and time again, especially young women. There are so many young women that are being molested and being raped and being abused by people that should be protecting them, their own cousins and their own uncles and different things. And I'm speaking because I'm sharing this from experience. And what I know is that many people out there just don't know the right way to go. And a lot of women try to do things on their own. Yes, they feel ashamed, but they feel, you know what, in order for me to prove that I'm tough, I got to do it on my own. I don't need a man. I don't need an organization to help me. And so we develop this coldness and this hardness in us where we want to prove that we're the strong woman or we're going to make it. We don't need anybody. And many times we don't go and access the help that's available because we want to prove that we can do it. And many times we don't, and we hurt our kids in the process, and we make bad choices because there's no sense of community. We don't trust people after all the different things that we've gone through. And so I wanted to talk about that because I see that happening to so many young people, and I've learned that you can put out rules for people. You can tell, hey, listen, don't wear this and don't wear that. But rules without a relationship brings nothing but rebellion. And so the best way to make an impact is to build a relationship with people, and that can start with just one at a time.
one at a time here. Everybody doesn't have to have an organization. I salute people that have an organization that are doing these things
mm-hmm.
in groups. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody
mm-hmm.
has access to
but
that.
But you have
so,
a voice, though. But if you have a voice, you can do
exactly. And you can use that voice to build relationships
exactly.
and to build people up and to say, you know what, honey, you're worth more than that. Your validation needs to come from more than the attention that
that's
you get,
right.
your ability to seduce some man or to get attention from people because of your body. There's more substance to you. You were created for more than that. And most young women, they don't know that. Why? Because they're looking at the Beyoncés and they're looking at the Rihannas, and no,
uh-huh.
I'm not knocking them. I'm not fans of them, but I'm not a hater of them. That's what they
mm-hmm.
do. They get paid to do that. But a lot of young women say, well, if they're beautiful and if they're powerful and they're showing it all, maybe I got a chance by doing it like that. And so they're very
right.
misguided, and they're trying to do it every day on their everyday flow. And that's not a reality. That's not going to get you anywhere. And so
but that's
they
why your role model can be your aunts, your uncle, your aunts, your cousins,
mm-hmm.
your sisters, your neighbor around the corner. I think a role model can be anyone that gives you the attention and
that's
can guide you the right way.
Different. Exactly. And that's why I broke my
and,
silence in 2004 and I came out with my book. Like, everybody was asking me, well, what are you going to talk about? I said, you know what? Everybody already knows everything that I do. Let me hit something that's really meaningful to me. And I couldn't believe that I was in an abusive relationship for 9 years. I couldn't believe it. And so I wanted to break my silence when I did a contributed book called Souls of My Sister. I did 1 and 2. And my story's on page 312, Life and Times of Jacqueline Roe. And I touched upon it. And when I opened up and I told people, people couldn't believe it. They was like, Jackie Roe, Mike Tyson fighting boxing? Yeah, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And when you're growing up, like it happened to me when I was younger. And if I had some resources or some indication of what to look for. Because let me tell you the thing about domestic violence when you're young. We think it's cute. A guy calling you every minute, stalking you, this, oh, my God, he's on me, he want me, this and that. No, dummy, that's controlling. That's a friggin' a nightmare
uh-huh.
that will happen, okay? And that's where the guidelines, I commend domestic violence from when 20 years, 30 years from when I was young to now, it has opened up the gate tremendously for people to understand not to be afraid, because getting it confused with a guy liking you and a guy trying to control you, two different things. Okay, so I had to find something of meaning to identify with the younger generation and let them know, listen, it's cute to be cute, but don't let no man try to control you. Forget about, I'm not even going into the internal part about the domestic abuse and the verbal abuse and the depleting and trying to really just tear you down. I'm talking about in the beginning, you have to start, these young girls need to start dating and really being around a person's family. Getting to know the family member of your spouse is very important. Girls meet guys nowadays and think it's cute. They have babies. I was a young mother, 15 years old, had a baby, lacking that fatherly love, and we all go through that. And what happened, I don't regret having my sons. I love them. But if I had had some indication of what to look for when I was younger, I probably would have been a different person today. But I wouldn't take nothing back because I wouldn't be on the phone with all you wonderful women talking about
oh, thank you.
Talking about
I but Jackie,
know
just to add in there, it's just also, it's just to anyone that's controlling, because it could be a lesbian relationship too where
yes,
the women could be controlling each other. So it's anyone that becomes too controlling is that's a problem.
Gotta go. That's a big sign. So we're talking about violence. Let me get that out there. Now, it's a big thing about domestic violence, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. People really need to know the signs of domestic violence. Like, it starts from etiquette, mannerism, you know what I mean? Like, a child, a girl, when I do my workshop, I do them at Tilden, and I'm telling you, I put the microphone in a girl's hand, and I put it in a boy's hand, and I ask the guy, if you liked that girl, how would you approach her? He said, some people say, what's up, this and that. And you know, you get a nice corny guy that say, I would say, how you doing? That's the guy I would go with. You understand me? Because when you talk to a girl, you got to know how to talk to her. How you talking to her? What's up, ho? What's up? No, that's not how you talk to a girl. And if we condition our younger generation of girls to think like that, that's how they grow up thinking that's how a man is supposed to talk to them. And that is not how it's supposed to be done. So
can I say something, Brett? I think we're going to have to one day have Jackie come back on and Aurora and some of the ladies come back on one day to talk about domestic violence. But I just wanted to say to you that, do you see why I have all these women on the phone?
Well, let me just say two things real quick, Ms. Davina. I am so honored. I am so, so honored at this opportunity to meet all these beautiful women for what they're doing.
Thank
but
you.
Let me say this. Let
Thank
me say
you.
This also.
Thank you.
I really, and I truly mean this, that the honor of what you do and what you represent is something that I personally, as a man, will recognize, promote, support, salute for what you're doing, okay? Because, again, I understand what it is and what it means for a lot of our young people out here. Not only the young people, but we have a lot of adults, who don't have someone that they could look up to. And the point that I was making that Ms. Davina responded to is, you know, Davina, you're saying the same thing I'm saying in terms of all you were saying, the same thing I'm saying in terms of the role model piece, not just being the celebrity or the TV or the social media and all that. But it's we have to look within ourselves. And many of us have lost our identity as individuals. Many of us are not living the life that we should be living as who we are. We're trying to live the life as someone else who we're not. And that's a big problem for many of us because many of us are not at peace with ourselves. And that's why so many of us are so angry and so aggressive and so violent is because we have not had a true assessment of ourselves to look at the love of ourselves and how we take care of ourselves. And to come back to what Ms. Sister Jackie was saying, Sister Jackie, I love you. Okay, I love you for what you do with the domestic violence piece. But let me just
AKA Mike Tyson's sister.
But let me just bring something else to you, Sister Jackie. My sister, I'm gonna embrace you right now, but I also have to caution you, please, because there are a lot of us as males who are victims of abuse from strong women.
Hold on, my sister.
I hear you. But let's put the piece of what you're doing and how the passion of what you're doing and just have the conversation without bias where we're not playing into why we have domestic violence issues growing because, again, we immediately blame one gender as the abuser and the one gender as the victim. Because now what we're trying to do is trying to get both males and females to come out and speak about the fact that I'm a victim of domestic violence. And if we keep talking about it from a gender as the abuser and a gender as a victim in 2015, that we're not going forward in really addressing the issue because, again, the stereotyping and the stigmatizing is still being done.
Well, I stand to be corrected.
We bring Jackie and Aurora back on one day for a topic on domestic violence? I would love for both of those ladies to come on one day.
Davina, you already know the shows that I deal with on this. So you can, listen, I would love to have them on with me anytime.
Oh, yeah.
These are topics that I deal with every day on the show.
I'm not only woman bashing, male bashing. I trust me, I get calls from men. I mean, this last year of my walk, I had two young male speakers that came out and broke their silence and talked about them being abusers. So, I mean, guys, if you're listening, I'm not trying to male bash. It's all for everyone. I really want men to come out more, too. So you are right, sir. I stand to be corrected.
And excuse me, can I just chime in and say something on that note, please? This is Cassandra again, and yes, that goes hand in hand, of course, with us not teaching our young girls how to behave, because a lot of these young women, ladies, we are very aggressive, but then some of us are very hostile and violent as well. And I watch the young girls as I advocate into the schools as they're very abusive. They hit on the guys, and then when the guys and then all of a sudden the guys are supposed to be wrong. And no, we need to teach our young ladies not to put their hands on the guys as well.
That's why.
Women are very physical. We want to slap, we want to punch, and then as soon as they get knocked down, we want to cry victim of domestic violence. And it's not always the case. You need to sometimes hear the whole story. I lost a cousin because he wouldn't put his hands on his woman. She killed him.
Sister Cassandra.
Okay.
Sister Cassandra. Yes. I'm glad that you said that, because the women don't come with the physical. They come with the psychological torment and the torture and using certain things psychologically on the male.
Believe me,
and then,
I know.
Remember, well, hold on. But hold on. Hold on. But listen, I do a presentation called God, Please Do Not Let Me Raise My Hand on This Woman. Okay? And let me tell you, when I do that presentation, both men and women break down in tears. Because it highlights the fact that a man will stand there and be beaten by a woman just because he has the values to not want to raise his hand on her. But then the system and society will immediately consider him the abuser when he stood there and not do anything. So look, the reason why I'm saying this is you look at a woman. Tonight to honor these great women and the great things that they're doing. You heard about them. You heard about their story. You heard about the work they're doing and they're continuing to do. There is an event on the 28th, and you're all invited to come out and be a part of that event as they are being honored. And we just want to say it was an honor for us here at CISFI to really offer this platform and this opportunity for them to showcase the great work that they're doing and to be heard. So if you're available on the 28th of March, just go by the event to participate, get to meet these women in person, know more about them, connect with them. They have programs. Some are authors, some are actors. You know, get an opportunity to meet them, to talk with them, and to bring them into whatever programs that you have working with youth and working with adults. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of things in terms of knowledge and resources, and those knowledge and resources can be used for you and your program. So again, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Ms. Davina Perez for putting this great guest list together for us to have them here this evening. We will be having them back with us again because, as you heard, the domestic violence topic was a very sensitive one that we're going to be building on as we get more people to be engaged in that conversation. Thank you all. Good night. God bless. Have a great weekend. Be safe and enjoy loving yourself, enjoy loving life, and enjoy living your life with a purpose. This is Brett.
Amen.
Have a great weekend.
Amen.
Amen. Good night.
God bless.
All right. Take care, everyone.